Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the World of Ink Network, founded in 2011 by Virginia Grenier and Marcia Cook. Their vision was to start a radio show that helped writers reach their dreams. The World of Ink has a wonderful group of hosts who are dedicated to delivering shows to entertain and inspire listeners. The World of Ink Network shares resources that introduce tips, products, and services to help strengthen, support, and challenge those who love writing and the written word. Their hope is to bring not only authors, illustrators, and publishers together, but screenwriters, directors, and producers. New to the network will be a variety of special shows, bringing not only entertaining shows, but informative discussions on timely subjects. To learn more about us, go to www.worldofinknetwork.com or visit us on our Facebook and Twitter pages. Thank you for your support and enjoy the show.
Need a break? Take some time for yourself. Listen to one of Marcia's audiobooks at www.marciacaspercook.com. You'll be glad you did. After all, if you don't take care of yourself, who will?
Hi, everybody. It's Marcia Cook, and it's World of Ink special tonight, and this is a little different show. It's going to be very interesting. We're going to talk a lot about audiobooks, which we've been mentioning on the shows, but we have two people that I think you're going to really like, and let's see what I have some. Well, I think, you know, before we get into anything, I think what I'll talk about is I think you heard that little commercial that we did. And I think that I was talking to Virginia Grenier, who is a partner with me with World of Ink. We've been doing this for almost 8 years. And we were talking today, and I think that one of the things that people don't understand is when they're on a radio show and if you or you get a commercial, like a short little commercial, people hear those things. And that's really – those are the things that go on Google first, because we talk a lot about marketing all the time and we've had so many over the years, so many different people, but I think that that's probably something people should think about doing, and hiring a narrator just for a little. You know, it's a short commercial, and I think when we get back to Kevin Ickens, who did My Love Changes, which I mentioned last week, he's a narrator, and so we'll talk to him a little bit more about that. And Cindy McDonald, who does a lot of different things, and she has some series that are very cute, and they're on audio books. And that seems to be one of the fields that people want to hear about. They don't actually know, you know, how to go about it sometimes. And so I think I'm going to let Kevin talk first, and then we'll bring Cindy out. But I think if you're thinking about doing an audiobook, I love them, and that's why I keep talking about them. And I think that once you hear one, you will be very happy you did. And Audibles is a huge company. And I'm sure you've seen, well, let's put it this way, they advertise on CNN, so everybody's been listening to CNN, so I think you see the Audible commercials. So I'm going to, hi, Kevin, and hi, Cindy, how are you?
Hello. I'm good, how are you?
So this is going to be a little different, because I think that, you know, what I've done the last few shows is, I think Kevin, after Kevin says a little bit about himself, and Cindy, we're all going to open the discussion, and they can ask each other questions if they want, because we're not in the same room, so sometimes it's really good when the guests can talk to each other and ask questions instead of waiting for me to ask them, because they may have something that they want to know from each other. Okay, Kevin, so you do a lot of different things.
I do.
Right. And it's funny because most of the time we have authors on, but so we're going to go the back way here. You're the narrator and other things. So I tell everybody a little bit about what you do.
Well, I like you said, I do a few things. I actually started out on Fiverr through a friend of mine, and we were talking about my beef jerky, and he goes, oh, that would be fantastic. Nobody else does that. And I've been making my own beef jerky for, oh, a little over a year now, and I now have 8 different flavors that I sell, and I promote it on Facebook, I promote it on LinkedIn, I've had taste tests, and I've sold a lot of it to friends and family and other people. So that's one of my interests. And then the other thing that I saw on Fiverr with the people that I was involved with was that they were doing voiceovers. So I started doing voiceovers on Fiverr, and I was getting some work and getting some good reviews and everything, but it wasn't steady enough. And in the group I was in, they mentioned ACX, the Audiobook Exchange Network. And so I checked it out and signed up and started auditioning. And I got 2 or 3 books right away, mainly Westerns, which is one of my interests. I really enjoy Western movies and books, Louis L'Amour and some of the other people. And so I said, okay, I'll start narrating. And now I'm on my 10th book that I'm finishing up, which is actually a mystery thriller by the name of Tip a Hat to Murder. I'm doing another Western that I'm finishing up after that, and then I have another mystery that I'm doing after that called The Lady on the Rooftops. I've done Marcia's romance book, Love Changes, which was very fun to do. It was well written and it just flowed. And that's one of the things as a narrator that you're looking for is you want a writer that writes well so that when you go to narrate, you're not stumbling over words or grammar or punctuation. You can just get into what the story is about and actually tell the story with no hiccups and it just makes it sound so much better.
Yeah, I heard you say that before, you know, when you were on that other interview. And so I think that's one of the things because, you know, a lot of people, when you're talking about that now, how you want to do a good story, which happens to be the name of my show, actually, is called A Good Story is a Good Story. And that's one of the things people, you know, one of the things, though, about the audiobooks, and then I'm going to bring Cindy out, is that, you know, people have a habit of going like, oh, this isn't edited good, this is wrong, they said the wrong word, they did this, they, you know, they messed up some way. But when you're listening to a book, it just flows, and it sounds so good, and people can actually enjoy the book rather than, because a lot of people, I'm sure Cindy knows this for writing a lot, people just go, oh, what happened? They have too many commas, this is wrong, that's wrong. And even you have the best editor, there's always a few little mistakes. And I think if people would give themselves a chance to listen, they would enjoy the book because they're not looking. You know, there's a lot of authors out there that are reading books, and naturally authors are critical. Most people, they just read it, but as we do our own things, like I know sometimes you can look at a paragraph and you could do it 20 times. So I think that's one of the things you don't do when you are listening. It's just a smooth, nice read. Cindy? Tell everybody about yourself because you've got your series in audiobooks too. So,
well, I don't know if you know this, but I was a professional dancer for 26 years.
Yes, I did see that on a dance school.
Yeah, I had a dance school. I choreographed musicals and operas in Pittsburgh. And in 2011, I decided to trade in my tap shoes for a laptop, and so I've been writing series. Books ever since. And then I started writing the children's books. And I wrote the children's books specifically because I have grandchildren, and so I wrote them. And finally, my oldest granddaughter, whose name is Kirsten, and I adore her, she said to me, Grandma, when am I going to be able to read your other books? Mm-hmm. Well, Marcia, you know what my other books are, the romantic suspense, and an 11-year-old, that's just not appropriate. And I said, well, I don't know. And then I thought, what a dumb answer. And I thought, well, you know what? I'm an author. I can write anything. I know I can. So I started writing these Fiona Quinn mysteries. And I decided that I was going to put Fiona in my hometown of Pittsburgh, right in the house I grew up in Pittsburgh. And I was going to make her in a very unlikely sleuth. And since I'm very familiar with ballet, I started the whole series out with a murder at the Benedum Center, where the Pittsburgh Ballet Theater performs. And, you know, of course, there's a ballerina who is murdered, and Fiona Quinn ends up right in the middle of it. And she hooks up with a very quirky detective named Nathan Landry.
What age group is that for? What, is it a younger age group, or is it just a standard?
I'm telling you, Marcia, adults love Fiona Quinn.
Okay.
But the
beautiful
thing about it is it's written for adults, but you can hand that book off to a teenager or a tween and not have to worry about anything. It is a 100% clean read. So some of the humor might go over their heads a little bit, but there's nothing in it that they can't read as far as, you know, being inappropriate. So it is, they are written for adults, but a lot of the adults are saying, hey, give this to your teenagers. They're going to love it. So
yeah, that's a good thing.
Yes, it is a good thing, and I'm getting all kinds of reviews in that direction. And then a friend of mine said to me, Cindy, why don't you make this into an Audible? And I kind of pulled back and said, oh, I don't know. How would I find a narrator? How would I do this? How would I do that? So she told me about ACX, and I put Murder on Point on ACX for audition. I'm sure Kevin's very aware. You know, you put it up there for audition, and you tweet it. And within an hour, I had three narrators wanting to audition, you know, looking at my little audition script for Murder on Point. And Maren Swenson Waxenberg, who lives in New York City, when I listened to her voice, I said to my friend, she is Fiona Quinn. She is Fiona Quinn. And she has done Murder on Point. Then she did Waves of Murder. And I'm expecting Mary Murder to be ready for approval within the next coming days. So all three books will be on Audible, I would say, by mid-July.
All right, that's great. Every time I think of you, I just think of horses. I know.
Horses. That's because I live on a horse farm.
I know that.
I live on a horse farm near Pittsburgh. I'm about 25 miles outside of Pittsburgh. And I live on a thoroughbred farm. My husband races thoroughbreds. My oldest granddaughter, the granddaughter who got me writing Fiona Quinn, she rodeos. And then I have another granddaughter who shows pleasure. So my life is very steeped in horses, yes.
Yeah, that's what I think of. Okay, just think horses. You know what, Kevin, you know, when you go online and you're wanting to do a lot of audio work now, what are you looking for when you go on, you know, because I know when an author puts their work out there, you know, sometimes they don't know if they should put, how much they should put in, or if they, you know, for the, you know, audition. What do you look for when you're looking for to pick out a book you want to do an audio on?
When I go on to ACX and I do a search for what available, they have two things. They have pay per finished hour, which is PFH, and they have royalty share. And, you know, the royalty share is good if you have someone that is promoting the book and things are really selling, because that's, you know, because otherwise I'm basically working for nothing.
Right. That's like also, authors. You're writing it. You get right into the swing of it. That's what happens a lot of times.
But I also look at for finished hour, which I haven't gotten any yet. But on top of that, you know, I don't do a lot of character voices. I do a read. I'll give it an inflection and emotion based on how the story's flowing and the people involved in the story. So I'm not looking for something that I have to do a British accent or a bunch of aliens or anything like that. I'm looking for something that is a good read, that is comfortable to me, and that is not, I've done books as long as 7 hours, but I've done books as short as an hour or 3/4 of an hour. So
because it's a lot, it's a lot of work. I mean, I think people don't realize how much work it is and how much, you know, you have to take certain breaths, and it's not easy. It just doesn't blow, you know, it takes time to do this.
Right. What I do is I go through the book, and I go through and I check and see how many chapters there are, how many pages per chapter, and that way I can pretty much schedule my time, because not only do I narrate, but I also edit my work. The narration is not the long part. It's the editing and making it a finished product to submit to HCX so that it, one, meets their standards, and two, it sounds good, you know, because otherwise it's not going to sell, and you're going to get bad reviews, and nobody's going to want to work with you because they're going, oh, my God, this guy sounds terrible.
Yeah.
So.
May I ask him a question?
Sure. Absolutely.
Hey, Kevin, where do you do your recording? Do you have a sound room in your home, or do you have to go rent a studio? How do you do this?
If you saw my studio, I'm in my office, and I have soundproofed it with 4x6 PVC panels draped with packing sheets and blankets and everything, and it deadens the noise. I'm in it right now, and I have my microphone set up on a separate desk, so I don't get any noise from my microphone. I don't get any noise from my computer, and I have had no complaints in regards to the sound quality, because the program I use, it's Audacity, but I have effects and everything and a chain set up, so when I finish the product, I make sure that when I run the final check, that it meets ACX standards.
Yeah, I think ACX, I think Audibles, they're very difficult. I mean, as far as, like, they want it right, which is what they do, you know. But so I think that that's one of the things that why people want to go to Audibles. You can have your books done, but it doesn't sound the same because they check everything. I mean, they don't just say, fine, you can have it out. You know, they make sure that it's right.
It goes through a lot of quality checks before they approve it, and then it goes to retail.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, so, I think that a lot of times people come on, and we talk about it a lot, and people's, you know, because you do have to, you know, like, I know that's probably why you never saw any of my other books, Kevin, is because, well, I had children's books, first of all, and that's a whole different thing. Children's books, those get taken really fast because they're short. And so then people, you know, and that's important. And I did put down an English accent for all my books, except for Love Changes. That's when you came and, you know, but everybody, all the others were English, you know, accents. And the first one that I had done, I should also say Gabriel Byrne, Sasha White, and Sangeeta Shalan. They did some of, they're all different people, but they all came in and they wanted, you know, that's what happens. You get people come in and they audition for you. And, but one of the girls that I had, she wasn't English at all. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I thought she was from the UK, but she wasn't. And, but what happened with her, which she disappeared after my first book. And, We had another book that she took, and I talked on the phone with her. She actually did the promo for the show, and she just completely disappeared. Audibles could not find her either, and so then they dropped her, and then I went. That was the end. But I felt so bad because she was so good, and I don't know what happened. Maybe she got overwhelmed, you know, or something happened. It was weird, because. You know, it just doesn't happen when the books, I guess, it, you know, because Kevin, like you said, it's hard. But maybe it was just too much for her. But I couldn't, I such a nice person, and then she just completely, and you sign a contract.
Yes.
But she, and she just completely.
I hope nothing bad happened to her.
No, nothing bad happened. They checked that because I know. And I had her phone number, too. I mean, and we talked on the phone a lot. You know, she was from the States. So it was so weird. But I think it was probably she just maybe got overwhelmed and didn't. That's what happened. And she was really good. I don't know.
Aww.
I mean,
and let me say this. It is very time-consuming.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm finishing up a chapter now, and, you know, it's 6 pages, okay? But to record 6 pages, it takes 15 minutes to record, maybe, depending on the font type and everything, because, you know, the font size and everything else, even though it's 6 pages, if it's 12-point font as opposed to 14-point font, you know, it's a little longer if it's smaller font. So it takes a little longer. So not only does it take 15 minutes to record it, then I have to go back in and fix any mistakes or cut out any mistakes, and then go through and make sure that it flows well and sounds well, which editing takes usually 2 to 3 times as long as narrating. So for one chapter, it could take me an hour to produce that chapter.
And because it has to really be, you know, it does have to be perfect for Audibles, because they won't take, you know, I mean, they have a whole team of people. And, you know, and it's I mean, because, and I love audiobooks. I think it's great. But one of the things that we were talking about before the show is I don't know. I think a lot of times, I know, Cindy, we were talking about the codes. I mean, and I've mentioned it on my show, you know, a lot of times if they want to hear the book, I'll send them a code. But I think, and I had talked to Audibles, and they are trying to work on the fact that a lot of people don't have memberships to Audible.
Uh-huh.
I had one before. So, I mean, and does anybody want to take, like, Kevin, what do people that you talk to, they're already members of Audible?
Well, like you mentioned when we were before we started talking.
I think I lost Kevin.
I'm here.
I think.
Oh, we didn't hear.
Is he there?
Okay. We missed it. I missed it. What you just said.
Well, there's a company called Audiobook Boom that they will promote your book. You know, you submit all the information and everything, and they have a list of subscribers or whatever on there that will request codes for the books that you're promoting for that week. It's once you go in and sign up for the book that you want to promote. And the books that I've done that with, I've had huge responses from them. I mean, I get 25. You got to ask for the 25 codes now from ACX. They used
to
get
I get that. Right, I do too. But they're not doing the reviews then? Because I think when they said that, one of the things is if they sign up on Audiobook Boom to read books, they can read them for free because they get the codes, but they're supposed to give a review. That's what they
Exactly.
But they're not doing that, I think.
I think probably 30 to 50% of them are, and if I see that they're repeat people, they say, you know, don't give them a code. You know, all they're doing is getting free codes and not giving you a review, which is what you're wanting them to do.
Right.
You know?
And Cindy, you were mentioning about the reviews, too. People are buying them but not giving you reviews, and they're just buying them in general, which is a good thing.
I'm just getting sales in general. The Fiona Quinn mysteries are doing extremely well, but I'm not giving out any codes, which, you know, obviously those are free books. I'm not doing that. They're just buying them, and I'm noticing on my sales dashboard that it's pretty much even up. Some people are members of Audible, and while others are not members. And the only thing is that people are not leaving reviews or ratings. And I, you know, I don't, I'm just not getting ratings or reviews. That said, with my regular books, the ones that are on Amazon, I get very few reviews. That people buy them, but they just simply don't leave reviews. And I think that a lot of people just simply are very intimidated by writing a review for fear that they'll say the wrong thing or they don't know what to say, you know. And I'm one of those authors who just do not get reviews, and it's quite frustrating. But there's not a whole heck of a lot I'm going to do about it.
I know that. And, you know, I do think that's one of the problems. I said, even for, you know, like with Kevin, narration and books, it's very similar now because we're all out there. And the fact is that I do think that maybe they are intimidated. And I do think that Amazon, one of the problems I know from all the people that have been on the show, we talk about this a lot, sometimes they don't let, like, they seem to know if someone is a friend, but the fact is that doesn't mean they're a friend of yours. They're just friends on your Facebook, and they're not posting those reviews, and they're not posting the reviews. And so that's one of the problems. Yeah, sure.
Can I jump in?
You certainly can.
In regards to the reviews, I am, when somebody listens to the book and gives a review, It not only helps you as a writer, it helps me as a narrator because, you know, the best review is a bad review because it helps you understand what you're doing wrong and where you can improve so that the next book you do is better.
But I just want to say one thing because I've been doing this for a lot of years. The thing is, if sometimes people write a negative review or something they say is not that nice, that doesn't mean that what they say is always right. Do you know what I'm saying?
Because I agree.
Unfortunately, people tend to do that a lot that I've heard. I luckily don't have a lot of that, but people do. Cindy, I think you've heard probably people, too, that have, you know, just to be – I don't know why some of these people online, they have a lot of fights with people. I have no idea. I mean, I never have
fights with people. No,
I have not either.
You know what?
I've
had so many reviews removed from my Amazon pages because I don't know. I guess I evidently knew the person from who knows where. But I do have one review that's really quite upsetting because, and I don't understand why Amazon has not removed it because, and it's for one of my Unbridled books. And it's not for Fiona Quinn, it's for one of my Unbridled books. And the person actually says straight out that they have not purchased the book, they have not read the book, but they're going to give it a 2-star anyway. I have a review like that on Amazon.
Well, you should try because they really do help you. Have you called them?
No, I've not done anything because why are they leaving that there?
Call Amazon. They're very helpful. Amazon and Audible, both of them. I mean, they take calls and they call you right back if they, you know. So I would talk to them because they will take that off if they never read the book.
Right, and you know how they put on their verified purchase? Well, underneath, there is no verified purchase, and the person even says, I have not bought this book, I have not read this book. I'm just going to give it a 2-star review. And I thought, well, why would you do that? I don't understand. You know, so...
What did you say?
I said somebody with too much time on their hands.
Evidently,
there are
people
that do that, and I've heard this a lot. And you know, but I will say what I've been hearing today. I heard today and during the week we were talking about some things. I had some phone calls. We were talking about that the UK, they have built their they've built themselves up as far as reviews and a lot of people liking their work at the UK. More than in the States because for whatever the reason is, I don't know why, you know, and it's quite interesting because I do think there are a lot of problems and I think they, you know, I have talked to them and they know that. Even at Audibles, they know that the system, what they used to have is like, let's say you want to like in Amazon, you want to give someone a gift, you just send it. But the problem is you don't really know if they picked it up unless you're watching all of this. So I think, and I haven't been paying attention, but I do know that a lot of people, they go like, no, I didn't know what to do. So I think some of the things, you know, we're doing this all the time. But the people that aren't, they just don't get it. And they just say, oh, forget it, you know. But there's a lot of things that they need to work on at Audibles and Amazon because it's changing it all the time. And there are some people that I have no idea, and I've asked this question millions of times. How people get 400 reviews is I would really like to know that. I have no idea how that is possible, who they even ask. You know, I mean, I don't know. And there's no answer to this.
Well, I do notice that some of the really big-time authors get a lot of reviews. Like C.S. McDonald is my pen name for this Fiona Quinn. And I write under Cindy McDonald for my other books. Well, you know, C.S. Lewis. So
yeah.
I'm listed right there with C.S.
Well,
Lewis, and I'm thinking, oh, my God,
okay.
that's just crazy.
Yeah, I know.
That
see,
I'm right underneath
you know,
him.
I mean, you never know. You know, like Kevin, you said you started at Fiverr. Okay, so when do people – I mean, I was on Fiverr, but I've not really used Fiverr. So – Do a lot? There's a lot of people on Fiverr because I hear about it all the time.
Yeah, and as a seller, they have this thing called buyer requests. So they have people that are out there that are looking for your service. So they post like an ad wanting your service, and you go through and say, oh, I can help you. You know, you give them just the basics. You know, but the thing that determines the cost is the length of their script. What are they looking for? With, you know, is it going to be used for commercial use? You know, things of that nature. And there are people that are in the Fiverr group that I'm in on Facebook. It's actually with Robert Plank and Lance Tamashiro. They have a group on Fiverr for the voiceover people, and some of these people are making thousands of dollars a month with voiceovers.
Really? Hmm.
And they're doing very good. They have a system in place
taught
by Lance and Robert, and they methodically go through that and do it day in and day out, and their queue is full, and they have steady work. You know?
I think for you, have you thought of doing just like a commercials? Because I think people really, that's why I said that at the beginning, because I think that people, even in the middle of our show, we have done that before where you can put a commercial on in a show. And I think that's a good thing because audio is always good on Google. It gets, you know, you really get higher up because the radio shows really go right to the top on Google when you do it enough. So do you also do commercials for people, or have you thought about that? I mean, paid commercials.
I've thought about it, and like I told you, I think, in one of our previous conversations is there's a gentleman by the name of Bill DeWeese,
mm-hmm.
and he is a voiceover actor. He's a voiceover coach. He's been in the business for quite a long time, one of the best. And I've watched some of his YouTube videos. He said put together a commercial demo, which I just haven't had time to do. The thing is, I got to find six various scripts that have different types of scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
Do that. He says, record 3 to 6 scripts, upbeat, guy, girl next door, low key, professional, corporate explainer, you know, things of that, and then just do clips of those types of commercials and put it together to make your demo. I just haven't had the time to do it. It sounds easy, but it's a lot of.
No, it's nothing. Listen, everything that. You know, you do, all of us do, none of this is easy, you know. And, you know, like it's the old thing, you know, you're going to, you know, I'm going to, oh, this will take me 10 minutes and it takes me like 2 months to do. I mean, it's like, you know, that's what happens. You know, I think, Cindy, you know that too. You say, oh, it'll not be that long. And then it turns out to be long because you want it to be right. You know, so unfortunately, a lot of people out there don't feel that they want it right. And it shows. It's not right. You know.
No,
I spend a lot of time trying to make sure that what I have said and what I have done is correct. Yes.
And on my end, I'm a perfectionist. I when I was in school and high school and everything, I had straight A's. I was in the top of my class. I bowl and I've got a 300 ring and I've shot a 298. So I strive for perfection.
Yeah.
And in everything I do. And
right, which is right, and that's right. And when you are that way, it does take time to do things.
Exactly, and I don't expect anything less from myself because that's instilled in me, and that's the way I work.
Yeah, yeah. See, that's the thing.
So, can I
ask
him another question?
Of course.
Absolutely.
Of course.
Hey, Kevin.
It's open discussion. It's okay. Good. Go for it.
Okay, I have two questions actually.
Go
two
ahead.
Questions. Kevin, what is your last name?
My last name is Iggens. I-G-G-E-N-S.
Okay, Iggens. Okay.
Not Henry Higgins.
Okay, like Henry Iggens, only it's actually Iggens.
It's very different. There's no, I'm the last male in my family line. So if you look up I-G-G-E-N-S, you're only going to find me.
Now your work, but see, the thing is, now you're always going to live forever because your name is on all of, you know, books, and it's on, you know, it's on the covers of all the Audibles. So, I mean, your name is now out there. It's staying there.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this now. I've been wanting to ask a narrator, but I don't have too many narrators to talk to, so I don't know. You know,
that's why we did this show, because I want to hear what the narrators think.
So here's a question I have for you. I'm so sorry, Marcia. Those of us those of us who write romantic suspense and, you know, romance and all that stuff, especially being a male narrator, how do you handle it when you come up to adult content in the script?
Well, I'm an adult, so I can handle it pretty well. I will do very little erotica, but I have auditioned for a few of Jesse Ash's books on Audible, and they're short. But what she's looking for is a male to do a female voice, and I've done everything I can to try and change my voice to
that's really hard. I mean, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
When you said short, do you mean like just a story, short story, or?
It's like 0.7 hours of finished work.
So
I don't know
what you mean by that. 0.7 hours?
Yeah, it's like
0.7 of an hour. Oh, 0.7.
Three quarters of an hour of finished work.
Like the kids, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
But they're short romances. This one that I auditioned for, it's 10,200 words, and it's 1.1 hour.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you know, see, that's the thing, okay, you know, and, well, you have, I have a couple of erratic, well, and this is the thing. It was very difficult for me, and so I had help with some of the sex scenes because, you know, I have a lot of authors on, and so I did have a good time doing it, but I thought, oh, maybe it's too, you know, I want to know how much you know, how sexy it was, if it, because you have to put yourself in the category, and sometimes it's not erotic enough, or it's too, you know, it's way over. So somebody from the UK, which answered my question, they read the book, and they go, oh, this is not sexy enough. So I went like, oh, good, okay, fine. I was so happy because I didn't want it to go over, and I knew this is not my specialty. I can write, but I had problems with the scenes. Not problems, but I just didn't think it was so necessary, the words, and I still don't, okay? And I have a lot of authors on that write very erotic, but I felt for me as I write, I didn't need it. And so when they said, oh, it wasn't that sexy, I went like, oh, good. Okay, so that review was good for me because then I go like, oh, fine. You know, because I was always saying, well, you know, this is an erotic book and it's not that erotic and I'm not going to do this and I'm going to change my name. And I went like, this is crazy because it was just in my head. And I think that's one of the problems. Like, I listened to a webinar where they said, okay, just write short stories. So I started out as a short story, and I never liked short stories, but then I did, and I went, oh, I like this, and people liked it, and then I wrote another one and another one. And we talk about this a lot on the shows because people, then they go like, oh, it's too short. And then we're saying, like, it says short story. If it says, like, 40 pages or 60, you know it's a short story. So then why would the review, you know, not specifically mine, but other people have said on the show, they'll go, like, it's a short story, but that is a category now, short story.
Right.
So that's why I asked
right.
you when you said short,
yeah,
what you meant by, yeah.
I've done Westerns that are that short, and one of them that I did, the reviews are going, well, when's the next one coming out? You know, we want to know more. We want more.
Which is a good thing, you know, for the author, which is a good thing, but it does, you know, we do talk about this a lot on the shows, is that people do write a lot of short stories. So, and when they say they want more, that's good, but then don't write something negative in the review because it's short, and people do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the problem. That's like with beta readers. I don't have beta readers because I've done this for 20 years. I write the book. If people like it, they like it. Hopefully they do. But if you have a beta reader, how do you know that if they say it's not good, what does that mean, though? What does that mean? You should change it, but you're the writer, not them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to me, that's one of the things out there. I think you just, you know, write the best story you can. But when you have beta readers and then you start listening, it's like too many cooks spoil the broth. I mean, you know, you can't have all these people. I have one guy, he's on my show a lot. His name is Jack Remick, and he teaches. He's retired now. He's great. He always says he doesn't even read his reviews, but he said, if you get a bad review, you're not going to do your book again. So just forget it. It's whatever the book is, it is, you know. And I think people get very upset when they get a bad review or people say things. But the truth of the matter is, if 20 people don't like it, maybe 40 people will like it.
Right.
So you can't, you know.
I don't really have very many bad reviews, but those I
Neither
have
do I,
had,
thank goodness. Neither do I, thank God.
Yeah, those I have had. Some of them, there was one person who kept saying something along the lines of the character Keith, 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 Keith. And this was in my Unbridled series. This is a long time ago in my Unbridled series. And I was rather upset with the review because there was no character named Keith. And I kept thinking,
all right, so bad. Not a good thing. that is not a good thing. That is really not
a good
thing.
It's like I don't even have a character named Keith. Oh, my God. But, you know, I mean, bad reviews happen. And, you know, the bottom line is when you write something, or, Kevin, when you narrate something, not everybody's going to like it because there are some,
right.
That's what makes the world go round. There's different people.
Exactly. I mean, I've auditioned for, let's see, what have I auditioned for? I've auditioned for, of course, it's going to ask me to log in. Give me a minute.
You know, but
I've auditioned for 39 different books, and I've got 12 offers, so one out of three. So I'll take that any day.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing. You know, and you haven't been doing it that long. So, I mean, I think that's very good, you know. Because you don't know what they're looking for. You know, you don't always know until you hear it, you know. And I wrote Love Changes. That was one of my first books. It was a screenplay. And then I wrote it in a book. And I actually wrote it. I love screenplays, but I wrote it as a book afterwards. And I did change the ending. I never told you this, Kevin, but I did change the ending on it because the ending of the book was not a happy ending. And
yeah, I think you told me this once before.
Did I tell you this? I don't know if I did or not, but okay. But I don't know if I did tell you this because I really don't talk about it that much because I always forget that I did it already. And because people really do want a happy ending. And
yes, they really do.
And then sometimes, though, you can't always have a happy ending because sometimes when the ending isn't that happy, it's something had to change. And maybe the person couldn't grow up or whatever. In my case, you know, when I wrote Love Changes, there was a part that I felt it needed a happy ending because I had written it a long time ago. But it was, you know, it was one of my favorite books that I've ever done. And but sometimes because the ending was where she grew up. She had grew up, but then I realized that I didn't need it because I do think people want happily ever after as much as they can. Not always in a movie. That's why when it was a book, I had to change, you know, because I don't know if you remember Message in a Bottle, Kevin Costner. People were very upset with that, you know, in the movie. They went, oh, you know, when it's not happy, when you walk out of the show, people get kind of, you know, they're down. They want to walk out.
They
want to
walk out of the movie feeling good.
That's why I like to go to movies, and I like to watch the people and see how they leave, you know. Mm-hmm. And then it's interesting because some say, oh, I didn't like the movie, and they go, oh, yes, I love it. And usually when they end on a good note, people are happy, I think, you know. But
can I ask Cindy a question?
Yeah.
Since she's been asking me.
Sure, go right ahead.
You
So as a writer, from the other direction as a narrator, when you post your books on ACX, I notice a lot of authors don't specify whether they're looking for different characters for the people that they have in their book, or if they want certain types of inflection or what the actual scenario is. They just post the script and really don't give you any direction. So when you post your book and you ask for auditions, what kind of extra information are you putting out there so that the narrator, the person auditioning, understands what you're looking for?
Well, I usually will put on the synopsis so that they have the basic storyline so they know exactly, you know. And then once I got used to doing it, I usually choose a scene from my book that covers at least three or four characters, like three or four of the characters that are all together so that you can see different personalities emerging from the characters. And then a lot of times I will actually list characters and tell you what they are. This is a white-collar worker. This is a taxi cab driver, should have a New York accent. This is a, you know, and I'll list the characters that I feel as though need to have special attention, if you will. So I try to give the narrator as much information as possible so that they're not lost. I don't want them to be lost. Now, that said, in Murder on Point, as I told you, that took place at a ballet. So, and because I taught ballet and everything for so many years, I know how to say the ballet terminology. Well, my poor narrator, when she got that script, she was looking at words like fauté, And she was like, oh my God, how do you say this word? So I would have to, there's on YouTube, you can go and get enunciations, verbal enunciations, so that they, and I would send them to her. This is how you say this word. Because I've never spoken to any of my narrators on the phone. Like Marcia says, she has actually spoken to her narrators. I have never spoken to my narrator. It's all been an email relationship. So,
when I look at a script and, you know, I'll check out how it's doing on Amazon, you know, look at the, open the book and see how it flows and everything, see if they list chapters, and then I'll go back and I'll look at the script and see if they are looking for, you know, just a narration, but with that in mind, like I said, when you're reading a book, you're not just reading a book. You're giving it inflection. You're giving it emotion. It's like you're actually sitting across from somebody, reading that story to them. And that's basically what you're doing, only in front of a mic to record it, so that the end product sounds like you're actually, like the old time radio stations when they had the Alfred Hitchcock and the Twilight Zone and those radio programs. You actually were glued to the radio, listening.
Right,
to
I right. I think the way that you're saying, like I know for myself when I just figure it this way. Whoever is narrating my book, Kevin, you can probably agree with this. It's their voice, and so I let them make the decisions. Like with when Sasha, when they're from the UK, and some of the words were different than we said them, you know, than we say it. I let them say it the way they said it, because I felt that it would change the way they could do the story if they all were trying to do the American way. And so I let them go through even some of the words that might have been changed. I just felt that's their job. That's what she wanted to do. So I let her go through that, and I realized when someone is listening to the book, they'll listen to it because she's just telling them the story, like Kevin said. Do you know what I mean? Where if I would have stopped her from and said, do this or do that, she may have lost some of how she does her narration. So I kind of left it up to whoever the narrator is. But I see what you're saying, because it was important to you that they, you know, went for how the character was.
Right. Or like I said, the ballet terminology, the words had to be pronounced correctly. A lot, and also in my Fiona's, I use some Pittsburghese, if you know what Pittsburghese is, like the word yinz.
Yeah.
Well, when she saw the word yinz, she had no idea what that word was. She was like, what is that?
Right,
and,
right.
You know, I used it in the book because, and I just sprinkle it in. I don't overuse it because it could get a little bit, you know. But I do put it in there because I like for Pittsburghers, when they're reading the book, to get a little chuckle out of it. Oh, my God, she used the word yinz. But I could see where somebody from somewhere else wouldn't know how to say that word, you know.
Right. Yeah.
But it's just to help them is more I did. But like I said, I'm amazed that you're actually speaking to your narrators, because I've never spoken to a narrator.
And that's one of the reasons I wanted to have them on, though, because I think that people need to hear from narrators, because, you know, it just as we are as authors, he has the way he likes to do his book. And because when it gets to the narrator, it's his story then. He's telling your story, but it's his story because it's coming out of his mouth. I mean, is that true, Kevin? Is that how you feel, or I don't know?
But I want to make sure that I'm giving it the inflection and tone and emotion that the author is trying to project in their writing. So I don't want just to assume that it's just flat and whatever, but I need to know know, are there certain characters that you want to emphasize? Do
right.
they need to have a different tone, a different voice compared to the other characters? Are you
yeah.
looking for a lot of different character voices or just a different inflection and tone so that the different characters come across as being different?
Yeah, because some people, I was going to say, I had a show that somebody was talking about that where they were very specific, that they wanted very different characters to be, you know, which is a difficult job sometimes when you are narrating to do so many. It's like you're doing a play, but you're really, you know, you're doing all the characters.
It adds a lot of time to the project because you have to get into character for each one of those people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cindy,
so
you were going to say something.
I noticed, Marcia, that you have a lot of your children's books
mm-hmm.
on Audible.
Yeah.
Now, when you put your children's books out there for audition,
mm-hmm.
do you get a lot of response because
they are
short?
Immediately.
Do you really?
Yeah,
you know, I've never even considered putting George the Pony out there.
Well,
because
I'm going to tell you what
I
have discussed this on the show a lot, and I've seen this in real life. Okay, I think if you do a children's book and you have a children's book out there, I think parents, it's still not what parents want their children. They want to read the book. But if you give a child a book and then you let him listen to it or her, they hear every word of that book. And sometimes that is really a good thing because a lot of kids, I mean, they're not great readers, but they really want to hear a story. And so I think I was listening to a three-year-old. I was watching him while they did, you know, while I had the audio on. And I thought maybe he was going to get bored. He did. He wasn't bored at all. He loved it. And he just listened. And there was really not a lot of pictures in it. It was just the cover. And then I got a phone call. It was on my phone. So I got a phone call, and the picture went off, and the only thing he said is, where's the picture? So he wanted to even just the cover. But I think I really think they should start doing that a lot, and I've heard from teachers, too, they agree on that because I do think that makes them understand when they're hearing it because a lot of people would rather listen to an audio than a book, and they catch every word. I think that an audiobook really gets you into the story and you don't skip words like sometimes people do when they're reading.
I may very
so
well
children's
consider
books, I think I love
George out there.
Yeah, I think you should put it out there because I think it's, you know, eventually it will be an important thing that teachers will use, but not yet.
Mm-hmm.
But they
Let
do
me know
sound
when
great.
Do. Let me know when you do.
What did you say, Kevin?
Let me know.
Do you do children's books, Kevin?
I would love to do children's books. I have 10 grandkids. So,
oh, really? So then you should
go ahead.
You know what? Then Kevin, I will send you, so you can hear the books, the children's, but I think you should put yourself down there, you know, go look for children's books because there's a lot of children's books out there, and I think that it is going to be a good thing because I think...
Well, you know what? Maybe I will put George out there, Kevin, and you take a look at it. It's called George... they're called George the Pony books. There are three of them, George the Boss, George Goes to Camp, and George Turns Green. That's the last one. George Turns Green. And
I think kids' books are great. I really do. I'm hoping that, and they do sell, you know, and people do like them. So, but I think it's a good learning. And it's also, you know, there's Tracy McDonald who does shows with us occasionally. She is blind, and she's friends with Virginia Grenier, who is the other half of World of Ink. And I had several authors, we had several authors on that are blind, and that's how they listen to all their books. And it's a huge market. And it's so good that they can hear all these, you know, wonderful stories, too. So I don't know if, Kevin, you've thought about it. That's a really big market, you know.
When you brought up the children's books, my wife took a cap off of Snapple the other day, and mm-hmm. it had that Dr. Seuss was challenged when he wrote Green Eggs and Ham to keep it under 50 words. And
really?
He did.
He did.
Green Eggs and
I'm gonna
Ham.
I'm going to send you. I'm sending them to you.
Well,
I'm send you and oh, so you I so and I'm going to send you I'll send you one of my children's books to Cindy so you can listen to them. I think kids books I really do think it's an important thing that a lot of parents aren't doing but they should do because with the regular book and the audio book I think the child really gets a good experience. I really do. I think it's great. I love audiobooks. That's why I'm having the show today. And so I want to eventually have another show like this. But I hope that people, when they're listening, okay, so Kevin, where can they reach you?
Well, you can either find me on LinkedIn under Kevin Higgins. You can find me on Facebook under Kevin Higgins.
You can ask me, whoever's listening, the people that listen to my show, and I'll get you in touch with Kevin, too.
Either one of those, you can send me a message. You can send me an email. My email address is iggykev, IGGYKEV, 58 at gmail.com. And,
Facebook. Facebook?
I'm on Facebook, Kevin Higgins. You know, just do a search for Kevin Higgins and you'll find me.
That's good. And Cindy?
Well, of course, you can find me on Amazon under Cindy McDonald or under C.S. McDonald. I'm right there with C.S. Lewis. We're just such dear friends there. And you can find me on Facebook under Cindy McDonald, author Cindy McDonald, or author C.S. McDonald, because I keep Cindy McDonald and C.S. McDonald separate. And, of course, I'm on Twitter. I'm everywhere. I'm pretty much everywhere. And my website is csmcdonaldbooks.com.
Yeah, that's great. And then, I think that this is really interesting to hear about the audiobooks because I think as we go on in time, I think people will be, a lot more interested in listening to the audiobooks. And I think if they even try the experience, they will love it because it's really, a lot of people say, oh, they'd rather hold the book, but it's a great experience. It is. You hear every word.
The first time I ever listened to one, I was driving somewhere by myself. It was a four-hour drive by myself. And somebody gave me one and said, Cindy, listen to it while you're driving. It'll keep you calm. Because I had to go right through downtown Pittsburgh to get out of town. And going through downtown Pittsburgh is pretty much a nightmare. And I thought, it'll be nothing but a distraction. I won't be able to drive. I am telling you, that audio book kept me level.
Yeah.
For the entire 4 hours.
As
a matter of fact, when I went to leave to drive back home, I literally went to the store and bought another audio book to drive home, and so I had something to listen to on my way home.
Yeah, I mean,
so,
I love it.
You know,
so
driving and listening to those things are just, I think they keep you level. I really do.
Yeah, and I think it's good that, Kevin, we listen to your point of how you choose, which is a very good thing to hear, and so that's why, Cindy, I think it's interesting when we can hear what the narrator feels, because we don't always know what they're thinking.
Hey, well, my question, too, to Kevin is, whenever you are considering a script, a book to narrate, and you go to Amazon, is it super important what the ranking of that book is? Do the rankings on Amazon really tell you everything about a book?
No. The rankings, I'm looking at your book right now, George the Boss. Okay.
Yeah.
And it says that your bestseller ranking is 4,264,667 in books, and then it's 4,216 in books, children's books, animals, farm animals. It's like,
yeah.
Okay, fine. What I'm looking for is One, how long is it? One, can I look inside of it and see what it's about? You know, give me an idea what it's about. And I might look at the reviews, depending on what reviews there are. They're not really important. It's more about how long the book is. You know, people are saying good things about the author, and what other stuff you have out there. You know,
that's good to know. That's good to know because, you know, and that's very interesting to know, wouldn't you think, Sydney? Because people are, you know, they're so worried about how many reviews that they have that, you know, and you like I said, you're not going to read 400 reviews of anybody's. Who wants to sit there and read all those reviews? I mean, nobody.
No, I understand. And I don't know how you get 400 reviews either, unless you're like somebody like C.S. Lewis. How do you,
if you look at a lot of these books that are bestsellers, whatever, they don't always, you know, and a lot of times on the show, like people, if they're bestsellers or whatever, you know, they really don't come up a lot on Google like you think. You would be very surprised, and I'm going like you guys both come up very fast because you do a lot of things, and I know that I do also, but you'd be surprised that sometimes people come on, and, you know, and I want to see what, you know, they have, because I don't just go into, you know, their books. I want to know about them, and there's nothing on a lot of people that you'd be very surprised. So I think that, you know, all the things that's why I do the shows, because we try to tell people, you know, what they might be thinking isn't really the way it is. You know, there's so many different ways you can look at things. So it's interesting to hear what a narrator feels when they're looking for a book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I think that's very interesting. And, you know, that's why, you know, when people are talking about audiobooks, if you don't talk to the narrator, you don't really know what they're thinking, you know. So are you going to be writing a book, Kevin? Are you going to write a book after this? No, I don't think so.
I'm not a writer. I've been told by a couple people, because one of my passions is bowling, and they say, well, you should write a book about bowling. It's not that hard. Well, it's not. If once you get the framework down and then you just start typing away and writing and let it all just flow and come together. But
See, you know what, though? It is that hard. It is hard. You know, and if somebody tells you it's not hard, sometimes it's someone that doesn't write, because, and especially if you're a perfectionist, it's hard.
Yeah.
You know, that's the problem when you are, because, you know, and then sometimes you just have to let it go and go, okay, this is it. Goodbye. And because there's always, even when I'm listening to Love Changes, I'm thinking, oh, my God, I should have done this, could have done that. And I'm thinking, like, that's it. You know, and so that's the thing. We can always think we need more, but we really don't. It's just whatever the story is. That's why, you know, you're looking for a good story and you try to do the best story you can. So I think this is very interesting. Thank you both for coming on. You can find me at MarciaCasperCook.com. The radio shows are on there too now. And that's it for tonight. Cindy, do you have another question at all? Or
no, I thank you very much for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome, and I'm glad we had this discussion. So now you'll know each other. There you go.
Absolutely. Yep.
It helps. It does help to know people in, you know, when in different fields. It really is. It's well rounded. It's good. All right. So good night, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Goodbye.
Need a break? Take some time for yourself. Listen to one of Marcia's audiobooks at www.marciacaspercook.com. You'll be glad you did. After all, if you don't take care of yourself, who will?